Hey, this is Dr. Shervin. Muskoka Magazine is brought to you by Dairy Lane Dental, keeping Muskoka smiling for over 30 years. Please visit DairyLaneDental.com.
Welcome. You're listening to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM The Bay and MuskokaUnlimited.com. Thanks for listening. We have a great guest to chat with today. Let's get right into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Chris, your host, as per usual. I still haven't found a replacement that's suitable. No, I'm just joking. Today with me is my friend, Jenny Cressman. You've heard her here before. If you don't know who she is, you have your head in the sand and you need to take it out. Welcome, Jenny.
But it'll be nice, warm Cuban sand.
What a great segue. Did you see that? See, that's a professional segue. So Jenny is the author of Cuban Kisses and Cuban Wishes. And we're here to chat a bit about your books because Cuban Wishes came out after our last chat, which was more about Cuban Kisses. And so what's going on? What do we want to talk about Cuban Wishes now that it's out? Or do you want to refresh everybody first?
Yeah, maybe. I think it would be good to have a little refresher course.
Okay, refresher course.
So it's essentially going to be a trilogy, and the first one is Kisses, and it's a sort of a romantic romp through the beech woods, and a fair bit of sex, and, you know, riding on the beach at sunset on horses and so forth.
Nice.
But it's really, besides being sort of a, you know, light smut, if you will, and a romping romance adventure novel, it's actually about a coming of age situation for a woman in her 40s. She is fleeing an abusive ex-husband and goes to Cuba, has a liaison with a handsome horseman. But then she ultimately realizes she wants something more from life than a guy who may or may not actually love her. It's sort of up for debate. He likes her a lot and all that. And she meets this other guy. And so by the end of Cuban Kisses, you realize she's moving on. And so Cuban Wishes is about her changing horses.
Nice. I like it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So she, in Cuban Wishes, has a much more mature, well-rounded relationship with an older Canadian man that she met at the resort.
Oh,
who
lovely.
Befriended her there. So in Wishes, then, yes, you know, stuff kind of happens. Bad things happen to good people.
Yeah.
And she and he end up having to rush back to Canada because there's been a murder.
Oh.
Yeah. So her abusive ex-husband is on the lam again, and she ends up feeling like, what is it going to take to get rid of this bad dude? He won't stop following me and stalking her and killing people she loves. And so while she was in Cuba, she had a ceremony done by Santeria practitioners who were supportive of her and wanted to keep her protected from him.
Nice.
And so with that in mind, she feels protected and kind of goes after him.
Interesting. Don't police, say too much.
Well,
make
I won't
people
say,
read it. Read
I won't
it.
Say, yeah, I won't say too much, but I will. I think I'm going to go ahead and read this part.
All right. We're gonna give you guys a sneak preview passage.
Yes. So in this part, they're back in Merrickville. It's a fictionalized version of Merrickville, but there's, you know, some elements that people who've lived there, like I lived in the area, so it's familiar to me. So I wrote about it.
Nice.
But I made up the house. So
I made up the house.
Well, yeah, you got to make up houses. That's, you know, and you can't just go home all the time. So she has been communicating with her ex-husband by email secretly.
Okay.
And nobody knows. She hasn't even told her fiance, John, the older Canadian guy. So she's armed herself with a dagger that she got from a Santeria practitioner, and she's going to meet him and have kind of a wacky little wine and cheese party. So she's arriving at the house and he meets her on the porch. He looks awful, and she, you know, is a little bit sympathetic, but not really feeling much empathy. So she goes inside with him. He has a gun. So she's in effect his hostage. When my eyes adjust to the dim light, I see that the kitchen is still partially furnished. Our formica table is positioned close to the window, just like it used to be when we lived there, and there are the same three mismatched chairs. He sits down in the chair opposite the window, and I take a chair at the end near the door. I plunk the wine bottle down in front of him and finish opening the crackers. Once he's successfully opened the brick of cheese, he breaks off a hunk, grabs a handful of crackers, and begins eating ravenously. I just sit back and watch, feeling oddly detached and wondering what will happen next. I really don't know what to expect. In a weird way, it's as if I'm just along for the ride. In his former life, he would never have let himself go like this. His hands and fingernails are grimy, and his scruffy beard must be several weeks old. Strands of greasy hair sneak out from under the edges of his ball cap. He has the fetid aroma of a man who hasn't bathed recently and has been sleeping in what he's wearing. His grubby clothes seem to be flecked with rust. I involuntarily shudder when I realize it's likely blood, Jake's blood. He notices, but misunderstands. Are you cold? Oh, just a little chill, I guess. It's an honest answer. Here, have some more wine. That'll warm me up. I take another tiny sip and pass the bottle back. He takes another substantial swig, sets the bottle down between us, and then rests back in his chair. He gazes at me as if he wants to speak, but can't find the right words. I try not to squirm. Finally, he leans forward, clasps his hands on the table in front of him, and heaves a big sigh. When he speaks, his voice seems remarkably sane and sober. Jackie, I know I screwed up. He seems authentically contrite. I've done some things over the years that have, displeased you. I bite my tongue hard and will myself to sit still. My hands are in my lap, balled so tightly into fists that my nails are gouging into my palms. I stare at him as blankly as possible. I do not feel one iota of empathy for this pathetic, vile killer. I know I can never make things right between us, he continues, but I want you to know that everything I've done is simply because I love you. Even when you had me thrown in jail, I never stopped loving you. I knew we'd be together again. That's what kept me going. I knew we'd be together in the end. He's looking at his hands as he speaks, so he doesn't notice that my body is twitching with rage. I can feel the knife in my boot inches away from my hand. I itch to pull it out and put an end to his madness. The curtain in the window suddenly flaps, drawing his attention away from his profession of love. I reach down and touch the handle of the dagger, but before I can extract it, a floorboard creaks on the porch. My ex leaps to his feet with surprising swiftness and pulls out his gun with his right hand. He lunges forward to grab me with his left hand, but I block him with one of the simple defense moves John taught me. Then I drop to the floor and scramble under the table. I hear a shot, and my ex lands on the floor beside me. His eyes are wide and wild. He looks crazier than I've ever seen him. I slide the knife out of my boot. And that's where the chapter ends. So then the next chapter, she wakes up in the back of a police car. So there you go. So it's not all just sex.
No, that's cool. That's like a crime, mystery, adventure, everything. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So
I love it. Santeria is good. I never got into it, but I always thought it would be fun to practice.
Well, yeah, I mean, they do sometimes sacrifice animals that, you know, they're one section of the book, there's a chicken that bites it, but, you know, it ends, becomes dinner eventually. They just, you know, needed a little bit of the blood for the ceremony. So, I mean, not everybody is into Santeria for sure. I had to do a lot of research to make it sound plausible. But,
but you know what's funny about that stuff is it's there's elements of different religions in it. Like, yeah. It's not just, you know, oh, this is, you know, they're not like some sort of devil worshiping cult. Like, they believe in different parts of all like mainstream religions as well as their blood worship and stuff that they do, right?
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, you, Baha'i is a little more inclusive than Santeria. Santeria, yeah, is actually the Yoruba religion brought, okay, from Africa.
Yes.
And then it was syncretized, as they call it. So it was masked behind the Catholic saint. saints, because at that time in Cuba and many other Latin American countries, the Catholics were in charge. Yes. And if anybody went against them, that was it for you. So that's how they ended up sort of meshing the Santeria religion, or the Yoruba saints, Orishas as they're called, with the Catholic saints, and sort of blending them. So there might be Saint Lazarus is Catholic. San Lazaro is the Santeria saint. So you'll see a lot of that throughout Cuba. There are some really well-known churches that have idols or saints statues that can be for both.
Interesting. See, I didn't know that. I thought they were just always, but they had to do that to survive and keep their religion alive so the Catholics wouldn't kill them.
Exactly.
Like, that's not even exaggeration. That's what they did back then.
It absolutely is. So I studied a lot about the history of Cuba in order to understand what I was writing about and have a more solid background, which it's interesting, the things that you learn along the way that you don't necessarily use all the knowledge you gain when you write, but it's there in the background. You must find that kind of thing too.
Like, it's crazy, like, just, you know, when you're talking to people and learning, but and not just, you know, about a specific place, but about certain professions, right? Like, you talk to people and you learn about certain professions and you hear the stories and you you understand some of the mechanics behind things, and then it helps, right? Because you're like, oh, I learned about that from, you know, whoever. I'm not going to say names, because I'll say someone's business name and someone else will get mad at me for saying it. Anyways, it's almost break time. Okay, we're going to have a quick break, everyone. And you're listening to the Muskoka Unlimited podcast on 88.7 FM, The Bay, if you're listening on Sunday morning. If not, you're listening online at MuskokaUnlimited.com. Either way, thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Shervin from Dairy Lane Dental, and you're listening to Muskoka Magazine.
And we're back to Muskoka Unlimited podcast. If you missed the first half, you missed a lot, so go back and listen online when you see it. Jenny Kressman, my friend, is here today, a wonderful author, writer, former editor, probably current editor too at times, and wonderful lady all around. We're talking about Cuban kisses and Cuban wishes, and I keep smacking my hand on the thing because I'm Italian and I talk with my hands.
You're supposed to talk in the air.
It's so hard. It's so hard to keep my hands still. People are like, how do you do that? I was like, I don't know. It's just habit. So we were talking before the show, and I want you to talk about this a little bit because it's really cool. It's part of Jenny's writing process, especially with the Cuban Kisses series. Talk a little bit about some of the drawings you did and the aerial photography and stuff that helped you craft your stories.
Yeah, well, I wish it were my own aerial photography, but...
not that you did, that you took off the internet.
I did the Google Earth thing, you fly over. I have it queued to fly me to Cuba at any time in the day that I need that, which is often. But I did a flyover of a village called Marea del Portillo, which is the area, the village and the resort, same name, that I've fictionalized in my novel series. Cool. So I call it something a little bit different, but I had to use that in my mind. Mm-hmm. That's the setting. And so then I've added my own elements. So, for example, I have in front of me, as you could see if you were looking over my shoulder, a visual map of the village of Marea del Portillo, and I've placed in it a little house, and that is the house that is being built in the novel Cuban Wishes. Yes. So I've located it on the edge of the village, sort of near the water, in the trees. It's a lovely spot. I could live there. I really could. And then going one step further, I also did a diagram, sort of a floor plan of the house itself, and what size the rooms are, how they're situated, what direction they're facing, so that I know which is sunrise, sunset, and the different porches and things. So when I write the scenes, then it's all, yes, they're facing this way, they would be seeing that, and then somebody's coming in the driveway, and they would be seeing the person on the porch and all that jazz.
That's awesome.
So it was a lot of fun doing that, and I wasn't able to incorporate it exactly in the book, but I think my descriptions will let people imagine in their own mind what I am describing in what I'm seeing in my mind.
That's awesome. I love it. And I love your little, I wish people could see this right now because it's really cool. It's like this colorful, beautiful description. It's like a floor plan. Like you would pull off the internet from some spec home or something, but Jenny did it herself for herself, which I think is amazing. And I love how you've got the table here and chairs and it's not just the rooms, folks. It's like,
there's a sofa and a love sofa, seat.
There's like everything.
There's
like
a flat screen TV.
You know? And like, it's like quite laid out. Like that's a whole nother career for you.
There we go. Yeah, I should have been an architect. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But it's also a rammed earth house. And that's another thing that I had to do a lot of research on. So, and I talk about it quite a bit in the book. And I have my feeling is I'm throwing down the gauntlet. If somebody wants to go to Cuba and build a rammed earth house, call me. We can work together. Yeah. I would love it because it makes so much sense there. A lot of the houses are built of cement block. Okay. And they do that partly because wood is a premium, but also because they're concerned about earthquakes and tornadoes, especially or hurricanes, especially in that part of Cuba.
Gotcha.
That's sort of the southern soul of Cuba. Yeah. If you think of Cuba as a leg with a foot, it's kind of near the heel.
Okay.
Havana would be up near the knee.
Yes.
So it's the end of the island closest to Jamaica, and a lot of hurricanes come ripping through there.
Yeah.
So when I remember talking with some friends about, oh, isn't that a cute little wooden house, they said, oh, it's not safe. It's not safe.
It's not safe.
But it's cute. I don't know. So they all want cement blocks. So in doing the research, though, rammed earth, you're essentially making sandstone. So you're making something that is probably stronger than some of the little cement block houses that they've got. Yeah. And you could use the elements that are right there. You wouldn't have to need, you wouldn't need to buy very many supplies, just a little bit of cement mix to put in with the natural earth that you find there.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's done in Africa a lot, too. And it's, I mean, it's done in Canada and the U.S. It's done everywhere. Yeah. In places where they have the means, they would use mnemonic devices to pound the earth.
Yes.
But in Africa and other places where they don't have that luxury, they do it by hand.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would be a very viable way to build homes in Cuba. So I would That's love to awesome. See a Habitat for Humanity style of project go on down there sometime.
That would be so cool. The pounded earth stuff. I like that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Just tapiel. That's the way you call it in Spanish, tapiel.
Okay. That's cool. I like that. Yeah, and they don't have the big equipment everywhere. Like definitely not in some parts of the world where they would have to do it by hand. I wonder how long that would take to do it by hand. That's a long time.
Well,
long process.
It's labor intensive for sure, but you end up with a very solid house that's going to withstand just about anything you throw at it.
I know.
Yeah.
And concrete wears down faster than people understand.
Yeah.
Depending on where you are.
Yeah.
Right? Like in certain environments, it's fine, depending on the quality of it. But in other places, I've seen it where it's like just broken concrete falling off of places. And I'm like, that's supposed to be strong. It's not strong.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it does degrade. And I imagine the salt air probably causes it to degrade even faster.
More, Like it would with anything almost.
Yeah, for sure.
Except natural stuff.
Yeah.
It would probably just blend into it. No.
I don't know.
Did you learn anything about that? I don't know. These are questions now popping in my head about this. I'm just like, it's the journalist in me.
We're going to go home and just madly Google things. Yeah.
So did you learn about what the salt does to the...
Well, to my knowledge, there hasn't been a lot of rammed earth construction done near a coastline, but... There were some crews I read about, though, in Africa that were all women crews building tapiel or
awesome.
Rammed earth homes. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, lots of different types of people can do it. It doesn't have to be just muscled men.
No. No. And that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
We could talk about that later.
Muscled men?
That too. No, we could talk about how many around the world, how... This is something that's funny. If you read about, and yourself as a knowledgeable person, would you read about what goes on around the world? And we think that in North America, we're still so patriarchal in many ways.
Yeah, you think that's a guy thing.
It's a guy thing. But there's like around the world, women are CEOs, prime ministers, leaders of states and all this stuff. And you're like, you know, we're really backwards here as much as we think we're advanced compared to other places. We're really, really backwards, right? Yeah. And you, because you have to, but you have to read, folks. Don't just watch CBC. They're not going to tell you everything. Don't just watch whatever other news programs you watch. You got to like get on the internet. The news sources from around the world are there. Like I like to go and read from, I'll read everything from Al Jazeera to several Italian publications, not just one, and on and on, right?
Well, and so bringing back around to Cuba, about half of their political officials, the government there, are women.
Yeah, because so, it makes sense.
Yeah, they have a lot more women in politics than they do in Canada. And, I mean, that's a great thing. I mean, not that...
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because it brings diversity of thought. It brings mm-hmm. new perspectives. It's how you manage and balance a society.
Yeah, yeah. So my book has the Tapiel. It has a lot of information about cool. Cuba. It has a whole lot more than just sex, sand, and sun.
I like it. I know. We got off topic just because, you
that's
know.
That's okay.
That's how I am. I'm just like, oh, I heard something. I was like, oh, see, that's awesome.
Squirrel.
Yeah. That's awesome. Squirrel. I am like that. I'm like, oh, look, new direction.
but we are probably needing to wind down a little bit.
I think so. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe Jenny's keeping track of the time better than I am. So this is what happens when we get talking. Jenny's going to come back. So everyone, you can contact Jenny at...
You can contact me at jennylovesword@gmail.com. Yeah. You can find me on Facebook, mm-hmm. author Jenny Cressman, or mm-hmm. just Jenny Cressman on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And that, at this point, is how you can order both Cuban Kisses and Cuban Wishes, or you can do so through Muskoka Unlimited. Mm-hmm. If you're in the area, that may be more convenient to pick up a book that way.
Yeah.
And coming soon, the third one in the trilogy.
The third one.
Cuban Misses.
Cuban Misses. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That gives you a little clue to what might happen. We'll see.
I love it. Cuban Misses coming soon. Go get the first two, Cuban Kisses and Cuban Wishes, in that order. You can combo them up. Jenny's awesome that way. You get a little break on the price if you do a combo.
Yes.
And read them. They're good. Jenny's good. She's a professional. She's done this for a long time. She's got the skills. So I think you'll enjoy it, whether you're into romance or adventure or crime, as we learned today. You know, there's something for everyone in there.
Murder and mayhem. Woohoo! Murder and mayhem.
There's something for everyone. So pick it up. Lots of ways to do it. It's easy, it's peasy, and make it happen. Thank you, Jenny, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for listening and continuing to support our great efforts to bring people in the community to your living room on air or online. Anyways, thanks, everyone. Ciao for now.
Thank you. You've been listening to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM The Bay or www.muskokaunlimited.com. Stay tuned for more wonderful episodes on our show.